Kum Lenin, a black Gemara. We're up to the Zayin Omer Aleph. We're up to Mila Sugya by 10 lines from the top. The kitsa, what's going on over here is that the second version of the Gemara is about a person who's being led to his execution by a Jewish court, because the Jewish court things can always change. And if he caused damage to others, if he caused damage to others, he's chayiv. Others cause damage in a potter because he's a dead man anyway. And Abshim Lazar says, even if he does erchin, that even, it's a second Gemara, that even if he caused damage to others, he is potter. And first we thought the machlekes is whether we'll take him to court and delay his punishment. And everybody said, no, you cannot delay his punishment. So he explained, the machlekes is, well, since it's a, can you collect from his assets? Because he's about to die, there's no way that he can pay before he dies. As his heirs were responsible to pay. It's like a milva ape, whatever he owes now was not recorded. So the machlekes is if a milva ape can collect from the heirs or not. Another version is, this is a step above a milva ape. The Taita mandates that you have to pay when you damage somebody. You know, So the question is, a milva that's mandated by the Taita, is that kiksuv b'shtar, does it have the full power of a shtar, and therefore the heirs are responsible to pay it, and that's why you want to, the Tanakama holds your chayiv? Or do we say that's still a milva ape, there's no recorded shtar, and it comes under the takana that we want to help out the buyers? That's not fair. Why should they lose a property? There was no way for them to look into, do due diligence and find out about this particular loan. So therefore, the heirs, and the heirs by the same token, are also potter. Mason asks a question. So you tell me we don't want to delay the din. So a guy's about to die, and so on and so forth. We don't delay the din, and the machleik is whether the heirs are responsible or not. So I'm asking a question. Somebody's digging a pit in a shusarabim, which obviously you're not allowed to. Bir shusarabim in a public space. The nafal olav shayva hargoy. And because of that pit, a cow fell in and landed on him and crushed him and killed him. Potter, the owner of the shay, in this case, is potter. Because you dug that hole and you caused the shay to fall down. If the shay died while he killed the person, so the person who dug a hole died, and the shirt died at the same time. Not only doesn't the Baal HaShoyt have to reimburse them, the family of the Baal HaBoy, the Baal HaBoy's family has to reimburse the Baal HaShoyt. The Baal HaBoy chayovim, Yorshe Baal HaBoy chayovim, l'shal mutim yishay l'baal HaBoy. The ears have to pay. Now, what do you mean the ears have to pay? Here we see clearly that a milva, no, why have to pay? He's dead. Must be because it's a milva haksuva b'teida. The teida mandates that you have to pay hazekis. It's kiksuva b'shtar dami, and the yeshim have to pay. It's clear that the yeshim have to pay.
The inheritors
have to pay, yeah. So the question is, you just said that the machlekes of Rabbi Yishin Tanakami is, if you cause damage, is that a milva haksuva b'teida? So Akasha, like the Tanakama there is a stam, and here the Tana, the Mishnah, which is stam, seems to be saying that the Yoshim have to pay, yeah? Have to pay as well, yeah? You said our Mishnah over here, going back to our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi, as Im Hizik, you have to pay. So we said that the beginning of the Mishnah, which is nameless, holds that if you cause damage, you don't have to pay. You only have to pay for Neider, Marich, a guy being led to his execution. If he makes a Neder, he makes an Erchin, he makes Hegdish, but if he causes damage, he's Potter. But why? Because Muvak Suva Teder, like the Suva Teder, my Mishnah holds. And here you have a stam Blaise that says you do. Hak is a Stider. Says Gemara, he's different. Says, what's different? They really had a court case. They had a court case before the guy died. And therefore, once the Bezin paskins, it's like Kiksuva Bishtar Dami, because it's already written, it's recorded. You can do your due diligence to find it straight away. It's in the records. What are you talking about? A Hargut. It says the animal crushed him while the animal died. So how can the Bezin have paskins that he has to pay for the animal? He's dead already.
So it's a kapora.
Yeah, but he's dead. How can he have a court case? You can't have Yoshim pick up on it. You can't have Yoshim mandating Yoshim. We said the Bezin already tried him before he died. So therefore, once the Bezin tried him, it's Ketsub B'shtar Dami. But he died. He didn't die on the spot. He made him a treifa that he will eventually die. And therefore, he was able to go to court, and that's it. Rab Nachman said, Tani Chaga. So it's... Tony Rav Chana said, "Meiz v'kavrai." It says clearly. He adds over there that he died, and they buried him. He got buried there in this pit. In other words, when the shoyd fell into the boyd, a whole bunch of sand came down with the shoyd together, and this victim, the bala boyd, not only did he die, but he was buried as well under that pile of sand, like an avalanche. And yet the yoshim still have to pay. So how does it work? And the yosvi dayona apuma de bila. Happened to be that the dayonim was just sitting there watching the guy dig a hole. Or they just parked themselves right after him. This, as he's being buried and he was dying, they were already paskin your chayiv. I don't know how he had a chance to defend himself or say anything. But anyway, they said your chayiv. Okay, no kasha. Tanya, we're happy with that. Tanya, Rabbanan. We learned how yaitse lahorig. If somebody's about to be like the execution, mazin olav medam chatosa. If he happened to bring a karma chatosa day, he was still going to, in the base of Middash, we're going to sprinkle, and his karma, because he's still considered alive, cause man, he didn't die yet. Umedam ashama, or the blood of his karma asham. We know the five chatoyas have mesas. One of them is of the mesa balev, the owner's dead. Cause man, he didn't kill him, he's still alive, even though he's definitely going to be executed. What happened? If he sinned as he was being led to be convicted, for example, he saw fats on the way and he thought it was kosher, it was a shaygig, and he ate it, and it turned out to be his chaylev, ain't his cocking like then. We don't take his carbon, if he wants to carbon, we don't take it. My timer, because the only way to do it is by delaying his execution. In Jewish law, once the bezin made a conviction, we don't delay at all. That's why we don't do it on Shabbos at Bezim, because when we had the Gemara, if you rule on Shabbos, you're not going to kill him until Sunday. So you're not allowed to. Only Mechol Moshe Seichem, so on and so forth. And I'll be honored. Only by Yochev, so I feel a Reisha Nami. If so, so why in the Reisha do we say that we sprinkle blood on him if he's being led? So Gemara said, that's not delaying. You know why? King Yoshua is a Vuach. He already shechted his carbon in the base of Mikdash. And then sometime between the shechting and the carbon and sprinkling the blood, they convicted him, and now they're being led to the execution. You're telling me, Tak, if they didn't shecht yet his animal, they wouldn't, because that also would delay his execution. Why make a contrast? Whether he sinned before he was convicted, whether he sinned afterwards, make even a bigger chiddush. It's called a lift like the listening, but you don't talk about him. But when is it talking about? When is it talking about only if the carbon is already geshachten? Even if he sinned a week ago, if the carbon is already geshachten, will sprinkle the blood. Aval ein zevach zevuach. Even though he said it a week ago, if the carbon hasn't been prepared yet, lie, we won't sprinkle blood. The Gemara, you're right. Hachi nami karm. Exactly what we mean. Mamed ramu din shay zevach zevuach. But it's a shor. Aval ein zevach zevuach. Naset tzav ki mishachote. But it's a shor. The ein is cocking loy. It's as if he sinned at that moment, and the ein is cocking loy, and we do not in any way sprinkle his blood. Mishnah. A woman now was convicted. So you see that women, just as men, also had capital punishments and trials and all that. Now the thing is, she's pregnant. What do we do? What do? Will you kill the child or not? Now because we say Uba Yerechimai, the child is considered another limb of the mother. So since when someone commits an aveda, and let's say they deserve to be killed, we don't say, oh, the hand that was Mechal Shabbos gets killed. The entire person gets killed because you're one person. In the case of a pregnant woman, her fetus is also part of her baby, is part of her. Ha'isha she'yatza lahari, a woman is going to be convicted, you can be killed. Ein mamtinila, we do not wait at she'tayla until she gives birth. We kill her and the child. And as she says, chad gufu, it's one person. Says the Mishnah Vayter, what about her isha, woman, she yoshra ala mizbah? She was already sitting on the stool over there. I mean, she's already starting to, she's having labor. She's in labor. Isha ala mizbah. So now the child is considered already a separate entity, because the child already reared its head or already moved away from its mother and now is trying to get out. Is mamtini lo achatelaid. Here we will wait for the child to be born, because the child is a separate entity. Why should the child be punished for the mother's sins? It's considered a separate entity. Ha'isha shenerga. Now the Mishnah tells another thing: a woman that died, a woman got killed by a bezin nehani, and we know that a mace is also b'hano. You don't have any hano from the mace, is nehani besara, but you can have hano from a hair. Why is a hair considered a separate part? We'll soon see the Gemara. Behema shenerga. The behema got killed by a Jewish by a court. Asura b'hano, including all of its wool, it's also b'hano. But it says bal hashoy, not to be having more b'kama. that what that the Baal HaBos is nakim min hachasav. He just lost his assets. He has no one else. Yeah.
Doesn't this open up a whole can of worms regarding the discussion of abortion?
Not at all. Because since the Torah says she has to be killed. Sorry?
It's saying it's not a life. It's just saying that it's part
of her. It's part of her.
Yeah, exactly. So exactly. She's being killed with the child. It's one person. They both did that Veda together. It doesn't matter. They're both going to Veda together. So even if she's been to Veda before.
Abortion, you're going to ask them, it's like what? It's like cutting off an arm or a leg.
No, in abortion, in Jewish law, abortion is not murder. You know that. Okay, so listen. Jewish law of abortion, that murder, but for goyim it is. For yidden, for goyim, abortion is much worse than for yidden. Okay, let's continue. First of all, pshita goof pshita. You don't understand. You were saying pshita goof. He's part of her. The Rimore, the Sagra, never thought, hoy, look, see, it says in Pasuk, if two people have a fight, and you hit this pregnant woman, and he killed her children, you have to reimburse the father. So I would have thought the father has rights in the child, so the father, hey, 1 second, okay, the mother, the shulduk, but I want my kid. It's my kid also. I would have thought that the father has a right to say, wait till the child is born. Kasi Yosh is all about Isha Memoina, the Balu, the husband has a chelik in it. Why should we ruin his share? Kamashlon, that's a chiddush. From Rabbi Chanami Taka, it's a tainer. Why Taka? Or Rabbi Meirchen, on Makro, it says in the pasuk, he found a man committing adultery with a woman, with a married woman. It says the pasuk, "Umesu gam shneim," they should both die. Now, normally, taichin means that the baal and the boil both die. That the woman and the adulterer, they both die. Umesu gam shneihem. Since it says gam shneim, then umesu, they should both die. So we're dashing the rabbi says a vlad to include a what that woman who dies, including her children, her child shneihem. Her child dies as well. What are we talking about? Don't we need to tell you that when did the woman get killed if the adulterer is over bar mitzvah and she's over bas mitzvah? If one of them is underage, one of them is not going to get punished, neither of them gets punished. Because it may su gam shneihem. So it's referring not to her with her child, it's referring to the adulterer and her. I'm learning from the word gam. The word gam also. What do you mean? Just say may shneihem. The gam also, there's another person. The baby's also gets killed as well. Says Yimara. Yoshua ala mishba, she sat there on the mishba, my timer, why? Kivan de okar guf acharinuhu. Once she started moving, it's different guf. Big machlek is Rashi and Taisis. Rashi on the mission says, Yoshua ala mishba, koidim shenigmadina. She sat there before she was convicted. She already started giving birth. So therefore, the conviction does not apply to the kid. Seems clear from Rashi. What about if the Bezin would have convicted her before, prior to labor, and then suddenly she went into labor because out of the shock or whatever it is? And the child gets killed. That's what seems to Rashi. And Tesis argues. Tesis says that this thing about Koydin Gemardina is only if she's being led. In other words, once she's being led an execution, no, it's Nochmer. And Rashi says Koydin Gemardina over here, which means that in the previous case, the contrast when she's pregnant is talking about even Koydin Gemardina. That means according to Rashi, it seems. When does Rashi say that the baby gets saved? It was Koydig Mardina. So in the previous case, when we said that the still baby's inside and it's not yet rearing its head, whatever, then the baby gets killed. It sounds like from Rashi that even if Koydig Mardina she was pregnant, the Bezin said Koydig Mardina that she is you're convicted.
But then it's not Koydig Mardina. That's Gemardin, isn't it?
No, sorry. As soon as she goes into trial. The baby's already included in that trial.
Even if it's born, let's say, in the middle.
Exactly. That's what it seems from Rashi. What's creating my dinner here? Anyway, Tess is definitely arguing in Rashi, and he says also here, it's talking about Dafka.
She has the baby just after the Gemara thing.
Really?
She goes into labor during the trial. The base thing gives a psak, she's guilty. A minute later, she has a baby.
That's what we're talking about. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it is. But the main thing is that Tess is hold that this thing of Yoshua and Mishber, the child is free, is only if it's it's talking about Achik about it. And not kading about it, because it seems from Rashi, the main thing is, according to Rashi, it seems if it's achag mardin, fafal, the baby will die as well. Once Bezin convicted, if the baby was, she was pregnant, when the Bezin came out of the conviction, even though the baby started, she started to have labor, 5 minutes later, the baby will get killed. When do we say that the baby will be spared? If the baby, if the woman started going to labor before. But Tesha disagrees. There's no weeks. No, the same day. That's why we don't do have a Dimadin on Shabbos, because you wait till Sunday. If a woman, now this is a sad gemara here. If a woman's about to be killed, so what do you do with the baby? We just said the baby dies as well. First we kill the baby. We give her a whack, a wallop, where she's pregnant, so the baby should die before this whole thing happens. The kid should die first. Why? Let's say they use one of the methods of killing, and the baby's still alive, and then the baby will eventually die, and all the blood will come out. It will make the whole spectacle horrible. The memra. So what are you trying to tell us here? He called me. It sounds from here that if you execute the mother, she'll die first, and the baby will die afterwards, and therefore we don't want that to happen, so we kill the baby first. I have a rule generally that the child always dies before the mother predeceases. That's now we learn. A child that's only one day old and then dies, and then the mother dies, or later on, since he lived for one day, he already has a right to inherit. If she died and he died on the same day, to his father, he takes his mother's estate that should have gone to her brothers and parents, and takes it all over, transfers everything to the father's side of the family. She loses everything. However, what the chiddush here is to say that he asks his mother to give it to his mother, even if he wouldn't have been born, his mother's family would get her estate. So it's talking about that the yashin's the mother to give it over to his brothers. So we see what the only way that can work is if he died after his mother. So he says here, Dafke ben Yemechin, because he lived the day. But if he never was born, let's say the mother died together with a baby inside the womb, it sounds like the baby would have died before the mother, and therefore he doesn't transfer the Yerusha to his side of the family. So we see that a baby always predeceases the mother. If she dies, the baby dies with her. The baby will die before the mother, and you just said a minute ago that the baby outlives the mother. Says, no, the difference, you die a natural death if you get killed. If you die a natural death, in a natural death, the child always predeceases the mother. Why? Because who has less chayis in them? The baby. He wasn't born yet. Has very little chayis. It'll die first. But the malach hamava is the drop of the malach hamava that kills you. Will affect the child much more than the mother. Therefore, I'll kill them out. Avol nerga. If you're talking about nerga, he may separation. But if
so you're saying if it's a natural cause,
the baby predeceases the mother. But if the mother was killed, the baby is protected by the mother. So if the baby gets killed second, there was once an incident. That's why we're killing the baby first. Yeah, exactly. There was a story. There's a story once that the mother died, and the baby kept on jumping, kicking around. Kept on jumping around. So we see that the baby did outlive the mother. That's like the tail of a lizard. You kill the lizard, it still wags around. It's only nerves. It's nothing. Yeah, it's nerves. And everyone asks a question, why is the mother to say? It's talking about a case where the mother was killed. And when the mother's killed, you said the child outlives the mother. Unless they knew that this particular case, the mother died natural causes.
So this is all to avoid the father's family getting the Yerushalayim.
It's not the purpose. The purpose is we don't want it. It looks very. The mother dies first, and then the baby then gets killed, and then the baby, all the blood of the mother, the baby will come out. Will be. You only bleed when you're alive. It won't be nice. A woman that sat on the stool to give birth, the mesa b'shabbes and died on Shabbos. A woman was in labor, and then she died in Shabbos. Mevi in sakin, you bring a knife. Umekadim es kresa, you cut open the stomach to save the child. Umeitzin es avlat. What are you telling us? My other nachmet. My other, what malach are you doing? Once the woman is dead, Rashi is chayim mechatech bebasu. All you do is cutting a stick flesh. You don't bleed it. Look at Rashi, top of the page. Mechatech bebasu ba'amuv ein chiyuv. There's no chiyuv ele bechayvul bechay. Rashi says here a big chiddush that the chiv on Shabbos of stabbing somebody or cutting somebody because it'll make him bleed. The chiv is the bleeding, and but a dead person doesn't bleed. So what's the problem? So this Rashi is a big problem in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch paskens that if somebody dies on Yom Tov, a woman dies on Yom Tov and has a baby, you don't take the baby, and the baby dies, you don't mala, or the baby dies on Yom Tov, you don't mala the baby. You normally, if a baby dies, you mala the baby before you put them, before you bury them. But if it dies on Yom Tov, you don't mala them. So they all ask from this Rashi, what's wrong? Once the baby's dead, there's no Isser of Mila. There's no Isser, there's no Chabalah. Because Rashi says only when you might see Dam, when the animal is alive. That one is dead. Anyway, no, the Chiddush here is, you laugh, you know, the Aveda here we're talking about that we suspend is not the cutting, it's the bringing the knife. Lahavi sakin derech l'sharabim, to bring a knife l'sharabim. Yeah. Think about a Maika Mashmal, what's a Chiddush? The Misfeka Mechalalina Shabbat. The Chiddush is that from a Safik, you're Mechal Shabbos.
That what? Maybe you'll save the baby, maybe not.
Sorry?
Maybe you'll protect the baby or not.
Maybe you will. Yeah, you don't know. You don't know if they say the baby or not. Exactly. Let me get we know that if it's a possibility to save somebody, you're mechal Shabbos, even a very remote possibility. For example, we learn that the Yuma Misha Novel Mapelis, if there's an avalanche or a house collapses on top of somebody, Sofik Husham, you don't know if there's somebody there or not. Sofik Chayimas, and if he's there, maybe he's dead. Sofik Kananis of Israel, maybe he's got a goy. Mefakin Olav Zagal. Three sveikas here, and we're still going to be mechal Shabbos. Different reasons we have in the Gemara why I do that. One of them is because it's better to say it's mechal one Shabbos, so you can keep many Shabboses. The Gemara Malti, I would have thought, Hasim hu dehavi lechazok Yusha. This person, whoever it is, was alive till now. Okay, you have a chazok. Aval hachad lehavi lechazok Yusha. Over here, the baby never lived yet. Even though the baby was inside the mother, it was always part of, it was always the aver of the mother. It never lived as an independent person. So there's no chazok. Maybe in this case, you have a suffix if it's alive or not alive. And there's no chazok. Maybe we don't do anything at all. Because emel loy kamash. Come on, come teach me that even so. Sorry? I know, but no, but the chazok is that if there was a person, he was alive at a certain time. So you're right. So it's a different kind of chazok. Ha'isha shenerga, her hair is mutav, ama yisuri anoninu. Now this gemara here I found very difficult to tell you a second why. If a woman got killed, you're telling me that her hair is mutav. Ama yisuri isuri anoninu l'chayitz asab hanoh. Omar Rav says, bo'imera, she says, tunusari l'biti. Before she died, she says, cut my hair and give it to my daughter. So therefore, as if she separated from herself, and therefore doesn't have kamasana. What are you talking about? Ilo Omar, if she would have said, tunu yadi l'biti, you know what, chop my hand off and when I die and give it to my daughter. Mi yahavinla, would you give it to her? You're not allowed to. This is to do with the organs, by the way, when they all talk about if you're allowed to give away an organ when you say, well, I'm dead, give my heart away. So you see right here, you're not allowed to do anything. You're not allowed to say that either. Omar Rav says, Rav, bepeya nochris. Talking about a peya nochris. Time, therefore, it's not really part of it here. If it's not part of it here, time, the Amr true. The only reason is because she said, give it to my daughter. Rav said, right, she had to say, give it to my daughter. Hola Amr Tnu, if she would not have said, give my daughter, gufahu. Umitzir. Sounds like even the sheitel, because if it's on her head, when she died, it's like part of her hair. Part of her. From the boy, Rabbi Zechanina, but it wasn't a question. Zechanina, the boy, Rabbi Zechanina, sar noshim shkiyon is mao. An ear and a dachas, we know everything gets destroyed. But if the tzaddikim live there, the tzaddikim they don't get destroyed. But their money, anything that they own, gets destroyed. And that's the question. What about a sheitlach? Vamar Rav, Rav said, the peya nochris come a boy. His question is regarding a sheitel. Regarding a sheitel, whether it's considered part of her, and therefore she can walk out with it, considered like clothing, and therefore she has to forfeit it. The Gemara. Come the boy Rabbi Chanina the tali besichs is hanging on a peg. Here it's hanging on her head. Actually, one of the shayim, I can't remember who it is, I remember Shabbos, learns that mechababa means they used to actually use glue to put the sheitel on the head. Using glue so it would never move. That's what mechababa means. And mechababa means on her head, but it's loose. Time with amr tenu. Therefore, if you said tenu, hala amr tenu gufahu mitzir. If you said tenu, then it's not part of her. But if you didn't say tenu, it's part of her and it's also. Now look at Rashi. What's his pay nochris here? So Rashi nani misado. Two lines at the top. Says Rashi, Regilas hayu noshim. It was common for women. Two lines on the top. Kishesad and muat. If they had short hair. Now we're talking about a woman who has a daughter. So this is a married woman. She had short hair. Likshar siy noshim nochis asad. They would add the sheitel to have longer hair. Vupe nochis. So maybe they wore a hat on top of that.
From stuff.
No, but the point is, they didn't keep the short hair. There are movements out there that women dafke have to have short hair. The Rebbe came out against it. Because in Pasha's, because it says by Yefas Toya, to make her look ugly, they used to cut her hair off. That's how the Menavel woman. Why should Jewish women look like that? But here you see Rashi clearly, that the women who had short hair would go ahead and attach longer hair. Dafke to have longer hair. What's this all about?
But it's funny because I always thought pen nochris means it's fremd, it's foreign.
That's what it is.
Body.
They had here. No, oh, another thing is. Yeah, that's what it, exactly what it is. In other words, okay, but the point is, it's also natural hair. Everyone's saying, I'll have natural hair shape. It's natural hair of other women, but it actually doesn't say, interesting, that this was their cover. Why doesn't Rashi say this was their cover? Rashi says these hair extensions. That's what it was. It was a hair extension. Why wasn't it as a head cover? I don't know. Why? Maybe. What do you need that for? I guess they didn't have. They only had the part. They have these parts. Instead of having a full shape that covers the whole head, they had a part which ends over here somewhere.
If that's what he's saying, the hair extension, then they've actually got their own hair still.
Yeah, it says they had short hair.
Yeah, so their own hair is still there. So
yeah, but they definitely had hair. What are you attaching it to? Definitely wasn't bald. Even that bald, short hair, they wanted to have longer hair. It's interesting. Anyway, and Rashi says it again in the next Rashi, Pei Nochris. Look at Rashi, Pei Nochris, for you don't throw it down. Pei Nochris. Lav side of Mamish, come her hair. El Shehoishel, a Peo, she had a Shaitel, Messiah, Isha, Acheres. Rashi doesn't say a Goy anymore. Yeah, any other woman. Kshuda, the side, attached to her hair. So now.
Like with a pin, with a hairpin.
Yeah. But Rashi before said they used to have short hair, yeah. Rashi, he says, again, in brackets. And somebody, again, he puts it in his hair short. It's interesting. Rashi says, the next Rashi, Sar Noshim Sikyoni, we say by the woman in the Nirazach, Rashi says that the tzaddikis, they would have to walk out naked. They were not allowed to even wear the clothes that they were wearing. Rashi says, the tzaddikim shebetoicha yoitzi men arumim, they walked out naked. V'chom amayinim nisim, including the clothes that they were wearing. Anyway, back to the Gemara. I just think this little Gemara is very interesting. Got to work it out. So the Gemara writes, "He's kasher nachmitcha." Well, do me the behemah tani. The Mishnah compares the hair of a woman to the hair of a behemah. And lechayda ma'has and guf over there by the animal. The wool is the part of the animal. Af hachin am guf. We're talking about the hair of a woman. Talking about the hair of a woman growing. And yet the Mishnah says that it's that she said, you know, you're allowed to. And Rav said through biti you're allowed to. What's going on here? Elam Nachman says, "Zu misasa aisarta." Here we're talking about a woman who died a natural death, and then she becomes, when she dies, it becomes asabano. So therefore, her hair, since her hair before she died, after she died, the hair doesn't change, doesn't decompose. So therefore, the hair is not part of her, and the hair is mutabana. But the animal, why are we killing the animal? We're talking about a Sharon Nisku, that the Bezin Paskin, the entire animal has to get killed. Every part of the animal has a chalais of that, a conviction that it has to get killed. Tari Levik, I was a Rav. Tari Levik, I said, I'm not Mitzchok. He learned it, but I said that he learned like Rav, supports Rav, and learned it, but I supports Mitzchok. Tari Levik, I was a Rav. Isha, woman, she yates a lehori, a woman goes out to be killed. But Amna, she says, Tnu Sa'ari Lebiti, give my hair to my daughter, Noisni. We give. So clearly here, not stamaze, she had to say tnu sa'ari lebiti. If she didn't say tnu sa'ari lebiti, her hair would be also. Mesa. Hey, noisy. If she died, you don't give. If neshames, no, but if she didn't say tnu biti, if she just died, ain't noisy, you don't give the him. If neshames, osabano. Mesa, osabano. So you want to pshita. Ela chidash is, shenoye haimes, osabano. Even the hair, which is really not part of the mesh, it's only to beautify, is also also bahana. So lechayda, what do you mean? What's noya mesh? The sheitel. The hair of a, if she didn't say tenu, for sure the hair is also. And the chiddush here is that the sheitel, the noya hames, this makes her look pretty, is also bahana, unless she said tenu biti. Tani goes, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Isha Shemesa, and if a woman died, Nani, beside her, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, whoever says a woman dies, forget about the Shekel, even her hair is Mutabana, even her hair, because the mace does not affect the hair. However, Behemush Energa, Asudabana, Uma Hefer is Ben Zelaze, Zumi Sasa Isarta, Vazugma Dino Isarta. Here, her death is what caused her thing, and the hair does not affect it by her death. Hadinoch, Rav Behema is a psak din of the bezin, and the psak din is on the tie Behema. Hadinoch hakol marichin.
So the Rashi's maskoni is that the peyanoch she can take it with her
hand. So there's two opinions: Rav Nachman and Rav. Rav Nachman all the peyanoch even she didn't say trubiti. It's not part of her. You can take the peyanoch. According to Rav, only if she says tnulabiti.
Because it is part of her.
It is part of if she's wearing it. Yeah. Don't mind if she's wearing it when she dies. That's the Mishnah. If you cannot afford it, we still have to work out some kind of a scheme of arrangement. The minimum is paying a seller. If you don't pay your seller, and then you become rich, you have to pay the full amount. But if you did pay your seller, you become rich, you don't have to pay anymore. Well, yes, no, you have to pay. The maximum is 50. And this is interesting. The Taylor says once you're 60 years old, it's all downhill. You're no longer worth the 50 shkolim. Kate's not on seller. He gave a seller. She became rich. A nice akum. You don't have to. You have to come and add anymore. Oh, but pachas miseller. She gave less than seller. You became rich. Nice chamish. You got to give 50 seller. How you be yodav? If you had in your hand chamish sloyim, you happen to have 5 sloyim. Ramei, Ramei, what do you do? How much do you give? Do you give only one scheme arrangement, or do you give whatever you have? The Taylor says you give whatever the amount I nominate. If you can't afford it, you only give one. And the Chachamim say, Noisin is called Chachamim say, you give whatever you have. Whatever you have, you got to give. And that's your payment. Then the Mishnah repeats again, the Gemara later asks why. Ain't no Erochin Pachas on the minimum of the seller, but lo yeser al Chamish, not more than 50 seller. What do you mean?
So you have 5 now?
No. That's a big machlekes. If you gave the 5, does that therefore mean you're potter from giving any more?
That's all I have today.
That's right. Or that means that's a part payment and you still owe. If you gave a seller, you give no more. You do not give erchin less than a seller. I mean, no one hainam is a seller. See, if the face of Posse would say, Bechol erchin yeh b'shekel ha-koydish. That's clearly a shekel ha-koydish. Kol erchin shatamaydich liyabchus b'shekel. The minimum you have to pay is a shekel. The maximum is 50. It says 60, between 30 and between 20 and 60 years old, a male, you give 50 shekel. So you add 50 shekel. How you be yodov, chamisha, you had 5, my time, why the may say only give 1 ksiv? It says chamishim, uksim shekel. One pasuk says b'shekel ha-kodesh, and one pasuk says 50. Or you chamishim or shekel. In other words, either you give the amount that Taylor nominated, or you give 1. There's no, what's 5? 5 is nishtahar, nishtahin. That's a mer. The rabbanon. Now who lechol erchin shata meidich leyepchusim meshekel dasa. They say the minimum, but if you have more, surely you should give more. Hey, chad yisleh amakro. But if you have more, you have 5. Ashetasik, whatever you can afford. You have the noyder, but you have the masekis. It says in the pasuk that you give if you cannot afford it. It says ashetayim, you should give. The coin should work out al pi ashetasik yad anoyder. Whatever you can afford, yad chen a coin. You can afford 5. Give 5. Ramei, no, ahu yad hanoided, the lo yad hanided. No, we need that pasuk to tell you that when we decide what you can afford, do we look at the person you made the neder about, or do we look at the person who actually made the neder? So he comes to tell you that the person who made the neder is the one we work out. And it's hard to understand, as the Gemara said right here. It doesn't make sense. You need a pasuk for that. The problem is he can't afford to pay. What's helping me that this guy, that other guy's a rich guy? What's that to do with him? He's the one
who has
to.
No money.
Exactly. So you don't need a pasuk for that. Oh, but that's about you be yodim chavishloim. He had $5. But Omri said, Erkiolai, I'm giving my erich. And then the chazav, Omri, Erkiolai said twice. And he only had $5. If Nosan Arba Lishniya, if he gave 4 for the second one first, the Echad Lerishayna, then he gave 1 to the first. So when he did the first one, really he could give, he, according to Chachamim, he got to give 5, right? Not just 1, 5. But what he did was he jumped in ahead and he gave 4 for the second one, because that's all he can afford at the second one, because he had to give something for the first one. So therefore he gave the 4 what he can afford, so he did both mitzvahs, and one he reserved to give him the first one. Yotzi Deishten, my timer. Why? L'chayda, he should have given all 5 for the first one, because we have a din, Bal Chayv Mu'ucher, a later Bal Chayv, that Api Halacha is not really entitled to collect, even though there's a Chayv there, the first guy's entitled to collect. Shekodam, v'gover, mashe gover. If he jumped in ahead, and he collected what he should have waited. Whatever he collected. You can't take it back from him because the chayv is there.
It's illegal.
It's illegal.
It's like a second mortgage.
Exactly. So when you gave the four, when he gave the four, the second one, tfa'faln, he did it, he did it. It's be eaten of the yav, so chayv wanted to give five for the second one because he owed all five for the first one. So whatever he gave you, he had no right to. You can't have a tie to him, why don't you give him more? I had no right to give what I gave you. Be eaten of the yav, when he gave the second one, he was still chayv the first one. And so therefore, and now when he has to give the first one, he only has one. Beating the other shayna su lesle. So he's yetzah, even according to Chachamim, he's yetzah both. What about Fakert? Nosen arba l'rishayna, if he paid off the first one, but only gave four, and then v'achas l'shniya, and gave one for the second, yidei shniya yotzah, or b'dei l'shayna l'yotzah. He's yetzah the second one, but he's not yetzah the first one. Why is he yetzah the first one? Because at the time, you should have given all five. And there was nothing else, there's no other lien on it, because the second one has to wait his turn. And you didn't, so you didn't discharge your full responsibility. So the first one you never paid. And therefore the second one is paid, you still owe the first one. And if you have more money tomorrow, sorry? There's only Kunacham. Is Kulu Mashabin Lirishina. Is boy Ravadabarava. What about Hoya but Yod Khamishloim? He had five Shloim, but Omri said, Shnei Erki Olai. In the same time. Bivas Achaz Mao. The Shaizazay. Is it Pshat he owes 2.5 for each one? Or is it Pshat he owes 5 according to Khamim, but the Shaila we don't know which one? Now, keep the bavas achas noda ki hadodi tovson. So therefore, the both the tefis on both yoiv tarti pal gelahai v'tarti pal gelahai. So there's a 2.5 over here and 2.5 over here. Or deal makul yechazi lahai v'kul yechazi lahai. He could choose whichever one he wants to pay off, but all five are indebted to each one of them separately. Take who remains the question. Then the Mishnah repeats again. Ein be'erchin pochad mesel v'lo yesed hosu lomli. When he's again for hakamash, I'll teach you pochad mesel hu deleka. That what you don't ever pay less than a seller. Ha yesed a seller ika, but there is more than a seller. Why? Like the chachamim. If you have five sloim, pay. But the seller is the minimum, not the like I made the actual. If you have two, pay two. You have three, pay three. And the machlekes tases and other rishonim whether if you pay more than the one seller, whether if you come into money later, you have to pay the balance or not. No, but is it a part payment or is this a full payment? Chamishim, why does he say chamishim? Chamishim udaleka. There's nothing more. Yes, a chamishim udaleka. There's nothing more than 50. Hapachizim chamishim ika. But if he has less than 50, there is. A stomach at a bon. If you only have 40, you got to pay 40. 30, 30. A stomach like a bon. Okay, I'll play that tomorrow.